I guess when you saw the programme for today, you wondered what the dickens was a minister doing coming to talk to you. And for those of you who are expecting a sermon, relax. All right? It's not Sunday. It's not the hour of week I normally work. Pastoral involvement, the invisible safety net. I'm not an SMS expert. Some of the terminology that's been flying around today has sailed blissfully over my head. And I'm not afraid to admit it. It is based in something that Simon said, and it was almost a throwaway statement right at the end of Simon's talk. It's about the people, not just the system. It's about the people, not just the system. And I wanted something on which to ground this session. And I tripped over. I didn't literally trip over, but you know what I mean. I found a copy of the ICAO Safety Management Manual. Fortunately, it's online, because the chaplaincy sure as heck haven't got a copy of it. And if you look at chapter 2, you will find a diagram which some of you may actually recognise. I'm hoping. I'm told that it's the Shell model, helping to visualise those relationships between various components of the aviation system. And it's meant to help you start to fit the bits together. And if you look at the bits, software, procedures, training, support, hardware, machines and equipment, the environment, where the work actually takes place, and the last one, liveware. Congratulations, you are liveware. Horrible term. Horrible term. Especially for someone like me, who's brought up to understand the fundamental uniqueness of human beings. And if you dig further and you look into the liveware, it begins to tell you about those factors that affect human beings' performance, that affect the performance of the liveware. Now, I used to work a lot with software before I came into the ministry. Liveware is different. Liveware doesn't do the kind of things that software does. You can program software. Very hard to program liveware. But liveware, human factors, is what we're about. And the factors it says that influence liveware, the human factors. Physical, is the person strong enough to do the job? Are they the right height? Can they reach? Is their vision okay? Is their hearing okay? Physiological factors, those internal physical processes. We've heard from Panos about one of them, the impact that oxygen deprivation has on people. Things like a person's general health and fitness. Are they fit? Are they ill? Have they just got a headache from the night before? Do they take drugs? Do they abuse alcohol? What about personal stress and fatigue? Psychological factors. How prepared are they to actually do the job that you're asking them to do? Are they properly trained? Do they have the knowledge and the experience to do the job? Can they cope with those 22 or 23 aircraft that they've got on their screen at any one time? And the psychosocial factors, those other pressures, not all of them work related, many of them pressures from outside. death in the family, financial problems, other sorts of domestic tension. And I guess what I want to do is to look at how pastoral care can impact on those factors, those human factors. Anne and Stephen. On the 1st of July 2010, Stephen murdered Anne and then committed suicide. Sadly, there is nothing remarkable about that. If you read your papers, you will know that happens far too often to be truly comfortable with. Why do I mention it? Because it provided an example of pastoral care in action. You see, Anne worked for UKBA. She worked in Terminal 3 at Heathrow Airport. She was a well-respected member of staff. For many of her staff, because she had a team that reported to her, she provided good pastoral care. She was interested in the people. They talked to her. Management had to make a decision. Her death had been reported online. People were picking it up. There was a need to tell the people what was going on. Now, I guess this would be one case, possibly, where schism could kick in. But at Heathrow and UKBA, that process doesn't exist. So the management had a choice. They could either do what happened with my wife up in West Yorkshire when a similar event occurred, a simple announcement, and let the staff just get on with it, or they could take a different approach, a much more pastoral approach. And that approach was to call in us, the airport chaplains, to be around when the staff were told of Anne's death. And for 3 days, we provided pastoral support for the UKBA staff, not just in Terminal 3, but Heathrow is like one huge family. So what happens in one place has an impact in other places. So we provided support across the airport. And that support was of being a listening ear. Just being there, being around for people to come and talk to us. And very often what they came and talked about wasn't Anne's death, per se, but those critical triggers that Anne's death brought to mind, the death of other relatives, other issues that stemmed from that process. And whilst that was happening, the terminal functioned, the queues were cleared, and work carried on. For that period of time, we became a safety net. The pastoral care that we provided was there for the people. And in fact, the chaplains were invited to attend Anne's funeral, and there we also were able to provide pastoral care. So I want to look at a few more case studies, stories. It's a much better way of saying it. But before I do, I want to explore what pastoral care is. Where sheep may safely graze. Ah. Every day I drive into Heathrow Airport, and as I drive along the slip road, you come along the side of a reservoir, and very often there is a flock of sheep grazing quite peacefully as the motorway traffic whizzes by them. And there is normally, in fact, the shepherdess on her quad bike, keeping an eye on the flock. If you're not so familiar with that idea, try that one. Oh dear. Talk about seeing what you want to see rather than what's there. How many of us, I wonder, have sung while shepherds wash their socks by night? Go on, admit it. That idea of shepherds and sheep. The 23rd Psalm, that psalm that most of us, I'm sure, have heard at either a funeral or a wedding, speaks into that idea of pastoral care. Because in the West, the idea of pastoral care is deeply rooted in that Christian tradition. That tradition of clergy being given the care of a particular community. And that care extended more than just to the care of their souls. And it's interesting that Ryan talked about people's souls, that inner self. But it was also care about the welfare of the community. But as we know, times change and people moved from the country into the cities. People turned their back to a large extent on religion, and the church became more and more disconnected from the communities in which it found itself. And then in 1944, the Bishop of Sheffield decided he was going to reverse the trend. And the way he reversed it was to take some of his clergy and actually send them out into the mines and steelworks of Sheffield to provide pastoral care, not just in the churches, but also in the places where the people were. So what is pastoral care? Well, Alistair V. Campbell, not to be confused with the other Alistair Campbell, wrote, pastoral care is in essence surprisingly simple and has one aim: to help people know love both as something to be received and as something to give. It's about doing. Pastoral care you do. It's not something that you are, and you know it when you see it. And that definition is very useful because it actually reminds us that pastoral care, pastoral intervention, call it what you like, does not solely exist within the realm of ordained clergy. Pastoral care is something that impacts on everybody. Before I came into the ministry, I worked for what was then ABC Travel Guides, now OAG, as a manager. In that job, part of that job as a manager was about pastoral care. Pastoral care for the people that we work for. Anybody who is safety conscious, and let's face it, we should all be safety conscious, is exercising some form of pastoral care. By what we do, we are taking care of ourselves and of other people. And we have human resources departments who you might think would exercise as part of their role pastoral care. But sometimes, and in some situations, pastoral interventions aren't dealt with by human resources. There needs to be that neutral third party. There are some things that staff will quite happily talk to us about, but who they would not want to talk to their line manager or perhaps their peers about. And I want to look at some of those, because it's those conversations that make pastoral care the invisible safety net. the baggage handler, the failed asylum seeker, the little old Japanese lady, and other stories. Sounds good, doesn't it? Picture, if you will, the typical baggage handler. Those of you that have seen them around an airport will immediately have an image. The one I'm thinking about was middle-aged, well-built, wearing shorts and steel cap boots. Hey, Vic, can I talk? Okay, find somewhere quiet. I'm worried. I've got a funeral to go to tomorrow. It's my best mate's dad's, and he was my mate as well. And I'm worried. A worried baggage handler may well not be the safest baggage handler. We talked, it was fine. The lady being deported in absolute distress, carted onto a plane with two people with her, wouldn't settle, causing trouble for the crew, not safe. Pastoral care to talk to her, to pray with her, calm her, and she flew. Don't quite think it would work in the same way with the lady from BMI Baby who was telling me about some of the drink-fueled parties that they get on some of their planes, but horses for courses. The Japanese lady, the little old Japanese lady, separated from her husband and her son, spoke no English, had no idea where to go, what to do, ran into a chaplain, and by virtue of sign language and a great deal of ingenuity, was reunited. Pastoral care, pastoral interventions. British Airways dispute, cabin crew dispute. If ever there was a case for pastoral care and pastoral interventions outside of the normal HR process, that's it. Because we've heard stories, can't prove whether they're true or not, stories of assaults, whatever. Crews alienated within themselves. People in outstations being sent to Coventry, eventually leading to depression and suicide. Pastoral care. That kind of behaviour should go through the HR process. But if it's one person against the rest of the cabin crew, how do you prove what's going on? Who's going to listen? Who's going to provide that pastoral care? Where do people go to find someone who will listen and be neutral? And yes, we treat our conversations as confidential, except that we also have to be aware of safety. And if there's someone whose behaviour is obviously becoming a safety risk, then we have to decide how we're going to handle that. And those conversations happen all over the place. Corridors, canteens, prayer rooms, offices, you name it. And they've got absolutely nothing to do with faith. Ramadan turbans and cleaners. Muslim months of Ramadan came to an end at the beginning of September. But those of you who know anything about Ramadan will know that for our Muslim brothers and sisters, it's a time of fasting between sunrise and sunset. You are dealing with tired people. You are dealing with people who, because their blood sugar's down, are likely to be more stroppy than usual. The safety plans have to take into account things like that, because that's a human factor that impacts on performance. A tired, hungry, stroppy staff member, I don't think will be as safe as they would be on a normal working day. Turbans. There was a directive came down that in future Sikh turbans would be classed as headwear and would have to be removed when people went through security. The Sikh turban should not be touched by anyone other than the owner, should not be removed in public. That order has since been rescinded. But that is how you get an angry workforce. That's how people who are normally very cool, very calm, very collected, very safe can become much less safe. Do you drive as well in the morning when you've had a row with your partner? Or is there a little bit more aggression there and a little bit more right foot than usual? Because you're human. And the cleaner. I love the cleaners. Most of them come from either India or the Philippines. They do the most grotty of jobs. Most of the time, the only reason that people speak to them is to tell them to go and clean something up or go and do something. Imagine their sense of worth, of feeling. Pastoral intervention. Say hello. Smile as you go by. And see the reaction that you get. That's pastoral. But it's not all invisible. Death on board, major incidents. People die on aircraft. It's a fact, I was going to say, it's a fact of life. It's a fact of death, I suppose. There are policies and procedures in place for dealing with them. You know what those of you that work with the airlines know what they are. But just for a minute, think beyond the policies and the procedures. Think of whether there is indeed a pastoral need there. Does this person, does this family, does the meeter and greeters need someone who can ease that difficult situation? And then you have the biggie, the major incident. Funnily enough, at Heathrow, the major incident is the one bit of the policies and procedures that I've discovered where we are actually written in. I guess everywhere else I think we're just too maverick to be able to include. But that one, we are written in. We are written into the emergency plan. We have our particular duties and places. We come under the control of something called Heathrow Travel Care, who are basically social service people, social workers, who are responsible for looking after the myriad waifs and strays that fetch up at Heathrow. We come under there, but we have very specific areas. Lost it. Survivors Reception Centre, the Reunion Centre, Friends and Relatives Reception Centres, and the places where ongoing you might get schism, the staff centres. And what do we bring? Pastoral care of the bereaved family members and friends. That sharing of love. Comfort for people in shock. The ability to deal with people's emotions and anger. The added value bit. And the evidence says that in the event of a major incident, people will sometimes rediscover their faith in a greater being. So we're there to provide the spiritual ministry. People want to be prayed for or with. Kindness, concern, tenderness with tears. Complementing, not replacing, not trying to outdo, but complementing the work of the other agencies. Providing that extra little bit of care and concern and pastoral involvement. Pastoral care, invisible safety net. Yeah. Because if we do our job right, if we are there to provide pastoral care for people, as managers, as colleagues, as chaplains, we may never see the results. But I believe that if you have good pastoral care, good pastoral involvement, formally through something like schism, informally through the work that we do, you will have, I think, a happier, healthier, and ultimately safer environment in which people work. Thank you.